Good afternoon and welcome back to Ulcerative Colitis Motherhood and Me. I'm Ulcerative Colitis Mama and today's episode's coming a little bit earlier in the daytime, which is quite unusual for me. I tend to post more at night, and there's very good reason for that. Before I go into the details of today's episode, I just want to give a trigger warning, heads up, that this is going to be very mental health led. Therefore, you know, a lot of the stuff I'll be talking about will be around my mental health, my experiences, my current situation. So, as always, listener discretion is advised, and let's get started with today's episode. So, yeah, this past couple of weeks hasn't gone exactly to plan, and more so kind of came to a bit of a head this week. So, as you know, I started a new job back in end of October, beginning of November, and I know I talk about the new job quite a lot. It was a quite massive transition for me. It was a job with greater responsibility, greater prospects, better working hours, better work-life balance. So it kind of ticked all the boxes, really. And with, you know, things happen, and my two senior colleagues that I normally sort of work alongside, one 3 days a week, one 2 days a week, happened to both be off on annual leave last week and this week, which has given me sort of an opportunity basically to work alone, which, you know, I've kind of been dreading, in all honesty, because I just feel like I like the reassurance of having somebody with me and making decisions and things. I'm always a little bit sort of, you know, I second guess myself quite a lot, and I'm still quite new to the role. It's been sort of like 5 months since I started with the team. It's a small team, it's a specialized team, and it involves a lot of kind of, you know, sort of individualized kind of care plans for people that I look after, and it's a very, very different role. It's very different to what I've ever done before, so I'm still very much in the very sort of early stages of learning things, really. There's still a lot left to learn within this role, and you know, I thought, right, well, you know, knowing myself and knowing that I have very sort of high anxiety, and most of the time I get by day, and you know, I do get anxious about very small things, but I know that this is me, and I try and self-regulate that, and I try and, you know, I'm aware and I can function quite well with it. Unfortunately, I've seen these last couple of weeks as a challenge and not necessarily a positive one. I came in, you know, with a positive mindset, and I thought, right, you know, I can do this. You know, I've been doing it for a few months now. I kind of know the process. I know what I need to do. I know the routine, and let's just, you know, see what happens. And if you get stuck, you know, obviously I've got like sort of a wider network of colleagues that I can turn to for support and guidance. So, you know, and I thought, well, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. So I might as well just get on with it. There's nothing I can do about it. So last week went okay, and I thought, well, with the Easter holidays coming up, it's technically only 9 days that I have to work by myself, and I survived the first five, and then I got, you know, sort of 2 days into this week and kind of hit a wall. So I'm kind of in very sort of kind of a lot of mixed emotions evolving this. So I'll start from the you know, the beginning, but obviously due to the nature of my job, being a nurse, I have to be very mindful of the content that I do talk about. So I'm just going to kind of give a very edited version, and sort of the build up to why I ended up hitting a wall this week. Okay, so it's no secret that, you know, I've always had an issue with anxiety. I have done most of my adult life, and more so since I became a parent. And, you know, on a day-to-day basis, when I'm, you know, generally in a healthy kind of place, I, you know, I manage it well. There's always something that triggers my anxiety, but I tend to sort of, I've learned to accept it. I've learned that it generally, anxiety is trying to keep me safe. It's trying to protect me. It's just kind of working overtime. And, you know, there is a time and a place for anxiety. It's generally, it's a helpful, it's a, you know, it's a very primitive and helpful tool at times, because it keeps us mindful, it keeps us focused, and it keeps us from harm, generally. Unfortunately, with anxiety, it has a habit of kind of firing off when it doesn't need to be. And, you know, I'm very aware of that, and I can regulate it in a to my own sort of little way, if you like, and I understand it. Sometimes, however, I try and push through it, and generally that's kind of most people I've spoken to in a professional capacity have said, you know, sometimes you have to kind of put yourself through it and just keep going and know that you're safe and know that nothing bad's going to happen and just come out the other side and you'll be fine. And there's generally not a lot to worry about. Now, I've been very fortunate in this new role that I've had a lot of support and a lot of guidance, and I've been met with a lot of kindness, which is great. And, you know, I've had plenty of opportunities to work on my own in these last 5 months. So I've had a few days here and there where I have been running the service by myself, and it's been fine. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I'm quite comfortable doing. There's some stuff I find a little bit trickier. At the end of the day, people are individuals, so you're not going to come across two patients that are the same anyway. Everybody's experience is different, everybody's sort of background's different, so you just have to kind of adapt and, you know, plan that care to suit your patient in the best way. Now, I was always kind of worrying about the lead up to these 2 weeks of being on my own. But technically, I'm not really on my own, because there is a like another service that kind of work sort of adjacently to ours. And so I know that there's always somebody that at the end of the phone, or somebody sort of somewhere in the hospital that I can turn to for support. Unfortunately, it's come at a bit of a time where there has been a difficult case that I've been working with. And I'm hopefully this is a once in a blue moon kind of scenario where I've had, you know, dealings with a difficult patient. And I've always been fortunate because I've had somebody more experienced with me, alongside me. And sometimes if it's somebody particularly, how to put it sort of in a diplomatic kind of way, but if there's been some a person that's particularly I don't like the word challenging, but the person that's not easy to get along with, my senior colleague has always volunteered themselves. They're more experienced, they know, and they know that I have anxiety, and I know that I struggle with conflict at times. So they do it in order to protect me, and that's very, very, you know, noble of them, and I appreciate it. And I know there are going to be times where I'm going to have to deal with this kind of scenario by myself. Unfortunately, it comes with the territory. You're working in public service at the end of the day, and not everybody is very engaging with public service. So you do have to kind of roll with the punches sometimes. Unfortunately, this one was particularly difficult because there was a lot of outside influences, shall we say, where people were getting involved that didn't need to be involved, and various other things. So it was putting me in a very vulnerable position. And the person that I was sort of looking after was quite manipulative and was using their influence, if you like, to somehow kind of, you know, pull strings, which is very, very difficult. And we do have it on occasion where we do, you know, we know people in the trade, and, you know, it's sometimes kind of helpful, but you've got to be very mindful how you do that, because it can land you in a very difficult position in terms of it can get you into trouble, particularly if you're not directly involved with that person's care. And you always have to maintain that church and state kind of boundary, really. And it's always something I've managed quite well. But to have it kind of flipped back on to me in that respect, where I was being contacted by people that I shouldn't have been contacted by. And, you know, I carry a pager. Yeah, we're a little bit behind the times over in the UK, that we carry pagers. A lot of the sort of doctors, specialist services and that, we carry pagers because obviously hospitals are big places and it's difficult to get in direct contact with people if they're not in their office. So it's a way of other departments getting hold of us. So, and that's strictly staff to staff. On occasion, you do get sort of colleagues from outside of the area that call in, that can contact you via that way. However, I've never actually been directly contacted by a service user in that respect. So I felt very vulnerable in terms of that. I felt that I've not been able to kind of conduct my job to the best of my ability because I've had this sort of situation going on where it's left me feeling quite vulnerable. Now, because my colleagues have been away on annual leave, on occasion when they're on their days off, I do find that I can sometimes give them a little text message and just say, look, is this okay? I'm going to do this. Obviously not mentioning any details or anything, just of certain situations. Can I give this drug with this drug? Can I do this? Can I do that? Is this okay? This is what my plan is. Is that okay? Just for reassurance. I'm very much a person that needs reassurance quite often. And I think that comes from many sort of, many long-standing past experiences, that I find reassurance is the biggest kind of cure for my, not cure, but biggest remedy for my anxiety. Just so I know that I'm on the right path. But they've been on holiday and I don't feel that was very fair to contact them when they're, you know, they should be relaxing and enjoying their time off. So on the odd occasion I did send them the odd message, but then I thought, you know what, no, I'm not going to message them again now. I've got other colleagues I can speak to, it's fine. And that's what I have been doing. I've been contacting equally as experienced colleagues, but they work in a slightly different environment, and it's been fine. And I've managed to sort of get my, you know, kind of muddle through it and problem solve myself, decision make myself, and, you know, and liaise with the right people if I feel that I'm not quite sure. Because at the end of the day, I've got my scope of practice and the parameters in which I'm to work in. And if I'm not sure about that, then I can't proceed any further, because not only is that going beyond my scope of practice, but it's also endangering my role. So I have to be very practical, and I have to be very honest and open and think, watch, I can't manage this, but I'll find somebody that can. Anyway, so I've had trying to do the normal job plus this very awkward, intense situation going on with a particular service user. And I got through it and got through it. And then it kind of came to it's come to sort of two kind of crescendos, if you like. And the first one was last week. And it was just basically, I just kept getting contacted and hounded. And thankfully, in the end, one of my consultant colleagues came and supported me, and it was fine. But prior to that, the morning before that all happened, you know, I knew my anxiety was starting to tailspin a little bit. And one of the first things is I lose my appetite, which for me, I love my food. So I know if my appetite goes, I know there's a serious problem, and it's sort of managing to kind of corral that before anything else happens. The other thing is, obviously, I start having that dread feeling, and it's usually in the evenings when I'm about to go to bed, because I'm dreading getting up the next morning and having to deal with whatever may happen. And it's that almost like that Sunday night feeling, but it's happening every night. And, you know, that kind of Sunday night feeling before you go back to school, and it's just that wave of anxiety and that feeling of dread and not wanting to go back to school. It's almost like pretty much like that, but in adult form. and I was feeling sick. I was having almost like IBS symptoms, and I've got to be so careful, obviously, with my colitis that, you know, there is, you know, although they're not 100% sure, they say that stress can lead to a flare-up, so you have to be very mindful of sort of being self-aware about your body. And I was having stomach cramps. I was feeling like I had a lot of like reflux. I was feeling quite nauseous, and I just knew that I wasn't feeling great. And it was because I was worrying about this particular situation. I was worried there was going to be a massive complaint coming in. I was worried that some, you know, legal were going to get involved. I've done nothing wrong, by the way. I know I've done everything within my ability, and I've sought help because I felt that this was beyond my scope of practice. So, you know, I know that there is no grounds for that, but there is still almost like that threat underlying there somewhere. So I was sort of kind of panicking a little bit by that. And anyway, I went to discuss something with the ward sister on the ward that where this situation was happening, and I actually burst into tears, and I felt absolutely mortified because, you know, this is the first time I've actually had what I call one of my mini meltdowns since I've started this job, because everything had been going fine up until then. And I was just saying, look, I'm just really tired. I'm struggling to eat. I'm running this service by myself, and I just feel like I'm letting everybody down. And you know, everybody's expecting the level of kind of experience that my colleagues have, and they're kind of lumbered with me, the newbie. You know, I just felt like I was just not doing anybody any justice. And I just started feeling like my confidence was starting to wane ever so slightly. And to be fair, I was met with absolute kindness from both the ward sister and the housekeeper on that ward. And I was able to talk it through, and they were able to support me from their side in so many respects. But I knew I had to speak to my manager because I knew I couldn't carry on the way I was going. So anyway, I spoke to one of my consultants, and he agreed that the situation was an absolute farce, that there was a lot going on that didn't need to be. And he advised me to obviously keep a record, keep a timeline of events, and to speak to my line manager, which I did. So I had a good discussion with my line manager. She was incredibly supportive and, you know, had my back and agreed that the whole situation was incredibly unfair and that, you know, it needed sorting out. And, you know, she just reassured me that she was around if I needed anything, if I needed anybody to talk to, if anything escalated, just to let her know. And that was fine. So I survived the first week. And I thought, you know, I reflected on it. I thought, look, you know, there are some things that could have gone better, but generally, I think, you know, I managed quite well that week. But then obviously as the weekend set in and sort of Sunday approached, I just felt that sickly feeling again. I just felt that I wasn't able to relax, and that horrible sort of Sunday night feeling that, you know, I need to go to bed early because I'm probably not going to sleep. And if I don't sleep, I'm not going to feel rested. I'm going to go into work, I'm not going to concentrate, I'll make mistakes, blah, blah, blah. And this is how generally my anxiety works. But sometimes I can stop it before it becomes anything, you know, before it becomes too much. And I thought, no, the only way I can do this is just by confronting it and just going in on Monday and doing my job. I'm doing my job to the best of my ability, and that's all I can do. And again, I've got the support of my colleagues in the adjacent teams and services that I can turn to for help. And anyway, so the situation with the difficult person escalated again, and so then, sort of first thing Monday morning, I'm finding myself contacting my line manager. Look, this has just happened. I feel quite vulnerable again. I don't know what to do. And, you know, so things were put in place and sorted out. And, you know, I just got along and did my job again to the best of my ability. And one of the great things about my job is that I meet so many really good people as well, and some incredible nursing teams that they don't have to be nice to me. They don't have to talk to me. They just, you know, all they have to do is say, can you go and see this patient? Can you go and see this one? And, you know, that's all they need to do. But, you know, the kindness, I had a bit of a giggle with some of them and I felt a little bit more relaxed. So things didn't seem so bad. Anyway, Tuesday kind of came to a bit of a head, really, where I just became very unsure of myself, and then everything going on with this other situation. And then I felt that one of my consultants sort of was giving me constructive feedback, but I felt that it was too constructive. I think sometimes the tone of their voice comes across as a little bit more direct, and I'm very much one of these people that likes people to greet me with sort of, you know, extra kindness and almost not handle me with kid gloves, but to kind of give me a little bit of, you know, in a way, even if they come across as a little bit patronizing, I can handle that, because it's that they're consciously trying to spare my feelings. I like that kind of reassurance, that parental kind of reassurance. And I didn't get that. And I felt quite defeated. And it wasn't actually anything, because that consultant actually, I know, is incredibly kind and incredibly, you know, is a really incredible teacher. But I just felt, wow, I've done something wrong. And I kind of go into sort of like a fawn response, and I feel really, really guilty, and I feel like I've done something really bad, and then I feel like I've not done my job to the best of my ability, and then it kind of comes down like a house of cards. And I did actually sit in the office where I'm based and just sort of thought, I can't do this. And I had a massive setback, and I just thought, I really, really can't. And I started to get sort of a tight chest, and I started to feel quite panicky, and I just felt like, I'm going to get in trouble. And to be honest, there was nothing actually happened, but I tend to kind of catastrophize, and that's another sign that I know that my anxiety is getting too much, because then I start thinking, I really can't do this. I can't. And I kind of freak out, and I had nobody to kind of freak out to. And that's another thing with this role, is where I've always felt like when I've got to a stage where I feel like I'm starting to spiral, in my old job, I could turn to anybody and say, look, I'm not doing good. Can you just sort of kind of just hear me out and reassure me? And then generally I'm fine afterwards. But, you know, being on my own, there was nobody I could really turn to in that respect. And I'm still getting to know my colleagues, and I don't know if, you know, I don't want to kind of lay down all my kind of, you know, and overshare all my trauma with them, because I don't want them to think, oh my god, who did we hire, you know. And so where I've always been in a environment where I've had a big team of people where I could literally speak to any one of them and just say, look, I don't feel so good today. Am I good? Are we okay? Have I done everything? You know, we're okay, aren't we? And I get that reassurance, whereas I didn't get that. And then I thought, am I being told off? Have I done something wrong? And I had no one to turn to for clarity. And I got a little bit upset, and I kind of left work on Tuesday feeling very much defeated, and just feeling like I maybe made the wrong decision. Maybe I'm not cut out for this role. Maybe I'm not cut out to be a specialist. Maybe I'm not, maybe I just, you know, I'm just not got the right personality. And the self-doubt came in, the low self-esteem, low self-confidence just kept eking back in again. And I just felt very much defeated that day. And I always felt that feeling when you're trying to hold back tears, to the point where you kind of, your chest feels really, really tight, and you feel, if anybody's horrible or nice to me right now, I'm just going to burst into tears. I just need to kind of distance myself. And anyway, I went to bed on Tuesday night, and I listened to an affirmation, kind of guided meditation from an app that I've had for absolute years. And it's a very reassuring app, and it's a very, I found it particularly helpful to myself. And, you know, and it gave me sort of a lot of positive affirmations, and they weren't directed at me, obviously, they're just a generalization. But, and then I just felt the release, and I just cried and cried for about half an hour in bed while my husband's sleeping next to me. And, you know, I'm kind of trying to do it quietly so I don't wake him up, because another thing is that I don't like telling people, that the people that I'm close to, that I'm struggling, because I don't want them to worry, for first of all, and I don't want them to think, oh, here she goes again, you know, that, oh, you care too much, or you, you know, you take things too personally. I can't change that. That's just in my genes. You know, that's part of my personality, and I do take things to heart when I'm feeling vulnerable. And I've been in a high stress kind of situation for the last couple of weeks, you know, notwithstanding the fact that I've been working on my own in a new environment where I've got so much more responsibility, and, you know, and I'm just not switching off, and this is where problems start arising. So anyway, I woke up, I just sort of said to myself, look, you've got to look after yourself now, because sure as hell nobody else is going to. I'm the only version of me, and I've got to do what's right for me. And so when I eventually sort of calm myself down and lay back down, I sort of said, right, if I feel like this in the morning, I'm not going to work. And that was the end of it. I said, yeah, okay, it's going to go on my sickness record, or it's going to raise some questions, it's going to leave the service uncovered, but I've got to protect me. And I knew that if I'd gone into work that day, I would have had a bigger meltdown, and I probably would have had to have gone home sick. So I thought, prevention's better than a cure. So I rang my manager yesterday, and I said, and I was honest with her, and I said, look, I feel like my anxiety's peaking and I'm really struggling. And I said, I'm really, really sorry. You know, that I'm letting people down, that I'm not coming into work, but I just feel like I'm really struggling. And I did get a little bit upset on the phone. And in fairness to her, my line manager is a wonderful woman. She's very kind. She's very compassionate and very patient. And she sort of said, no, you take a couple of days off, rest, get some rest. You've had a very stressful couple of weeks. Don't let anything that's happened be any reflection on how you've worked. You've worked, you know, wonderfully over the last couple of weeks. You've done that all by yourself. You've done what you've needed to do. You've worked to the best of your ability, and that's all that's expected of you. And she was so, so compassionate. And, you know, to be greeted that with that level of kindness was incredibly warming and reassuring. And she said, no, just, you know, she said, I will come and see you next week just to make sure you're okay. Your colleagues are back next week. Just take this few days just to kind of sort of decompress and come back when you're ready, you know. So there was no pressure. And, you know, she said, don't let anything that's happened be a reflection on you or your role. That is not your fault. You know, everything's been okay. And in fairness, one of my consultants texted me yesterday. Well, she didn't know I was off. She just asked where I was. And I just said, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm off sick. I thought my line manager's going to let you know, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And please take care of yourself. You know, we're here. Please reach out if you need us. And I was really, really taken aback by that. Because I felt, and I'm not blaming her at all, but I think her sort of directness, if you like, and she wasn't horrible. She's a doctor. They, you know, doctors talk differently to nurses, I find. And she just lays facts. And I took them to heart, and I felt like I'd let her down. And one of my biggest struggles is if I feel like I've let somebody down, I feel very, very deflated. And I did feel that her words struck something uncomfortable with me, and I felt very guilty, and I sort of fawned at it, and I felt very much like I've done something wrong, and I don't deserve to be in this position, in this job that I, you know, I've worked hard to get. So I know I made the right decision in calling in sick. I knew very well, because I know when things are getting on top of me that it was different in my old job, because I was in an environment where I didn't get sort of that far if I was feeling not so good, because I felt that I was able to talk to any one of my colleagues and they kind of talk me down a bit and I'd be okay, and I found that actually going into work was a better distraction, it was a better routine than going off sick and sitting and feeling sorry for myself at home. This time it's different because, you know, I was quite isolated, and I am quite isolated in this role, and people don't know me as well as my old team do. So, you know, I've got to eventually kind of hope that I can build these sort of relationships, maybe not to the stand, you know, to the level I had in my old role, because I was working with people more my age and like-minded people, and we'd been through a hell of a lot together as a team. It's slightly different because I'm like one of the youngest, if not the youngest team member, and you know, there is still like, I still very much kind of aware that there is still a bit of a stigma around mental health, and sometimes it's not easy to kind of discuss certain things with people, especially if you don't know them that well. So, you know, I'm mindful for that, but I know when to retreat. And it's not because I'm giving up or because I just knew that I needed to stop before things got worse. And sort of on reflection of that, I've noticed that my behaviour had changed in the last couple of weeks. Just things like I wasn't particularly sleeping very well. I know I wasn't doing things that I was enjoying. I was worrying a lot more. I was feeling more unsettled. Just things like I just haven't felt myself probably more than 2 weeks. And that's probably the build up, the anticipation of working on my own. And almost it's kind of almost self-fulfilling when, you know, like that self-fulfilling prophecy where you think, I'm not going to cope. And, you know, and I got into 7 days out of nine. But then had I not had that difficult situation, I probably would have been okay. I think that was just sort of like the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So, you know, I am very self-aware of my mental health, and I know when my anxiety is getting too much. And I know when my anxiety is too much, then I'm no good to anybody. And I don't mean that like in a self-deprecating kind of way. I mean that as in, well, if I'm not able to look after myself, how on earth am I supposed to look after other people? So I'm taking, you know, obviously I've taken these 2 sick days because now it's in the UK, it's bank holiday weekend from tomorrow. So I've got the 4 days off anyway. So I've given myself almost 6 days to kind of rest and recuperate, to kind of get back on track, you know, with my family. I haven't been to see my parents for a couple of weeks because I felt quite withdrawn. So I knew that, again, that was another sign that I wasn't coping very well, because I kind of withdraw from social media in terms of just, you know, contacting people. I kind of don't speak to anyone. I kind of put on a bit of a mask and a brave face, and I just kind of, all I want to do is just be in bed, really. And I know that's not healthy, and I know that's not me when that happens. And another thing I do is I tend to avoid my parents because I don't want to worry them. And my mum will sense something's wrong, and I know my dad will go, there is something wrong, because my dad can read me better, because of his own experience with anxiety. He knows when I'm not me, and it's really, really hard to kind of pretend that you're okay, especially, and it's almost like you're lying to people. And I really I don't like lying and I don't like pretending, and but sometimes you have to fake it till you make it, and I don't believe that's a very healthy philosophy at all. Because I've just felt that I don't want to engage with anyone, that I just want to read a book and just stay in my room, and that's when I know things aren't right, because I like being around people, because people are my remedy. I like being around people and them being a distraction from whatever I'm worrying about. And you know, I'm trying to look ahead, and I'm thinking, right, I've only got a couple of weeks and I've got a week off. I can do this, I can get through it, and just sort of go in, try not to think of the moment. I'm trying to think of things to look forward to. You know, I've got a week off coming up, and then in a few weeks after that, I'm going on holiday. And then, you know, I've got things, I've got plans, I've got things I want to do, and things to look forward to. And it was almost like these 2 weeks were that test, really, that barrier. And it left me sort of Tuesday, left me second guessing every decision I'd made in those 2 weeks and thinking, what else have I done wrong? Oh my, you know, oh my God, I could have done. And I know I haven't. And I know that the role I've got is, it's not a role where it's life threatening. It's not a role where it's critical. So, you know, and I've been reassured that many a time by my colleagues that no decision I make would ever be detrimental. Because, you know, because of the type of job that I do. And, but then after sort of Tuesday, I did start thinking, I think I've done everything wrong, and I don't feel right. Things aren't sitting right with me. What happens if I've said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing? I'm going to get into so much trouble. And it just spiraled from there. And I thought, this isn't right. This isn't healthy. I'm not healthy right now, and I need to do something about that. I need to look after myself, because if I can't look after myself, I'm not going to be able to do my job, and I'm not going to be able to function as a wife, as a mother, as a friend, as a daughter, as a sister, whatever. I'm not going to cope. So, and by putting on this facade that everything's been okay and I'm just a bit tired and I'm just a bit run down, rather than actually, no, my anxiety is kind of apexed and I'm just not coping. You know, I'm not being honest to people, and I don't like that, but I do it from a place where I don't want to worry them, and I don't want to be met with. And as good as intentions are, sometimes people try and give you advice. Well, don't worry about it. Just chill out. You overthink things. I know that. And I want to chill out, but I can't, because my body won't let me. My brain won't let me. My nervous system won't let me. So it would be great if people said, oh, you should just worry less. If I worried less, I wouldn't have anxiety. You know, I'd have better coping mechanisms. But unfortunately, I've got a very anxious personality, and it's just come from probably years of kind of trying to, you know, monitor other people's emotions and reading the room and overthinking, because of so much past trauma, if you want for a better word. And that's from growing up as a small child with a mentally ill parent who was so volatile that you daren't breathe, because you thought, well, I don't know what mood they're going to be in today. I don't know what they're going to say today. I'm just going to be quiet and stay out of the way, because that's what I was told to do. If you just keep your head down, stay out of the way, and they won't say anything. And that's kind of come into my adult life somehow. And I'm working in a role where there's a lot of hierarchy, there's a lot of institutional bullying. Although I've not, you know, I've not been sort of victim to that in quite a while, save for a unpleasant interaction with a senior nurse a few weeks ago. You know, I've grown, you know, I've grown to know what's, you know, good for my health and what's bad for my health, and taking things personally all the time, I know is not good for my health, but sometimes it's just my default setting and there's nothing I can do about that. And it's interesting when you know you're not quite right because every little thing makes you anxious. I mean, take for today, for example. So my husband had organised some ground workers to come and sort our garden out because, you know, we needed a new lawn. The lawn had died and having a dog doesn't help that. Having a female dog doesn't help that either. So we had artificial grass installed. And, you know, it was supposed to be next week and it was fine because I was going to be in work and he was going to be off so he could oversee it, blah, blah, blah. It was going to be fine. But it turns out they had a cancellation and they were quite happy to come today, quite short notice. And then I was thinking, I don't know why, but I got really anxious because I thought I'm going to have these strange men working in my garden. And what happens if they need, what if they're expecting to, you know, for me to, you know, engage with them? Are they expecting to use my bathroom when, you know, they're going to be here all day? What am I going to do? Am I going to have to move my car? And it's ridiculous. So I know for a fact that going off sick has made the right decision because I know that's not a normal reaction to having workmen at your house. And turns out they were done within about 3.5 hours. They did not once engage with me. They just got on with their job and tidied up and everything. They were very, very professional. And nobody used my bathroom. And I don't know why I was so funny about things like that. I'm very protective of my home. My home is my safe place. If my home didn't feel safe, then, you know, that's a really big problem. So me being at home is safe for me. And I know when I'm a little bit withdrawn, I'm not quite myself, I stay at home. I stay at home with all my creature comforts. I make myself hot drinks. I have snacks. I wear my hoodie. I watch movies. I watch very reassuring movies because they're ones that give me great comfort. And I try and engage with things that I enjoy. And, you know, sometimes that's, you know, I was lucky I got paid last week, so I was able to do some online shopping, which helps. I, you know, a little bit of retail therapy because I quite like getting parcels and things like that. And just think, oh, I forgot I ordered this and things. You know, I do with due care and responsibility. I don't just go maxing out my credit cards or anything. I'm not there. You know, and I watch films like, you know, my favourite films are like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. And I watch a lot of, you know, fantasy films with happy endings. I watch, you know, I watch series that I know don't involve a lot of brain power. I know I had to stop reading a book that I started last week because it was making me feel anxious. It was a horror, so that probably didn't help. But then because I think I've associated it with, I always read before I go to sleep. And I think because I was already feeling anxious about going to work, that reading that story, whether it was the story that was making me feel anxious as well, but I thought, you know what, I'm just going to shelve this one for now. I'll come back to it when I feel ready. So I picked up another fantasy novel that I know I've read the works from the same author before. And although there's sort of like obviously conflict and stuff in it anyway, because I know it's a fantasy, I know it's very much, it's not real. And it gives me some escapism where I feel like I'm not, you know, I don't have to worry about the real world right now. I can just focus on this one that this author's built. And, you know, and I do find reading does help, and it's a quiet hobby to do. It's and it takes me away from the situation. So I'm doing things like that, little bits of rehab, I call it. I ordered a mental wellness kind of care package from a website that I found online. So it's got some like strategies and stuff. It's got journals. It's got just little things. It's got fidget toys and stuff in it as well, just to kind of be a distraction. So I'm going to have a look at that. I haven't unboxed it yet, so I'll have a look. I might even post it on my Instagram just to, you know, just to show what's in it. You know, so I'm just taking things step by step. I bought some, you know, some nice snacks and stuff because I actually weighed myself at the weekend and I'd lost a kilo, which in normal circumstances I'd be really, really thankful for, especially with a holiday coming up. But it was the means in which I did it because I felt, if I've lost this weight because I've lost my appetite, well, it's not a positive weight loss. That's a unhealthy weight loss. So I'm just very mindful that I'm making sure I'm staying hydrated, that I'm eating, that I'm giving myself little treats and stuff, just trying to coax back the old me and self-regulate and sleep better and relax and aromatherapy, all that kind of things, lighting candles, wax melts, whichever I've got lying around the house, wearing comfortable clothing, just little things like that I find that help me. And just making sure, you know, like my dog's been very, very affectionate. My son has as well. I guess my son probably picks up more on stuff than I probably give him credit for. You know, my dog certainly does, but dogs are quite extra kind of sensory creatures anyway. So it's just about things like that. I mean, I went out for a walk on Tuesday after work with the dog, and that kind of helped put things in perspective. And I think that was when I knew that maybe I should look at taking a couple of days off just to get myself back on track. You know, just because I just felt very highly strung, very tense. And I still feel it now in my jaw, even though I'm talking a lot. But I just feel I'm very conscious of how my body's feeling, which means that my mental health is not great. So I'm just doing little things just to kind of, I've got a few days to kind of get back on track, enjoy the Easter weekend. And I know that my colleagues have got my back. I mean, the colleagues that have supported me the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of text messages, you know, and it's quite reassuring in some respects that, you know, they're thinking positively of me. You know, okay, it's a bit of a nightmare when my service isn't being covered, but at the end of the day, it's best to not be covered than to be covered by somebody who's not well. So, you know, I'm just very, very conscious of that. And I'm going to be more honest with myself, and I'm not going to push myself too hard. And my colleagues are back on Tuesday after the Easter break. So I'm going to sort of be honest with them and just fill them in on everything that's happened. You know, and I'm going to, you know, and I know I'm going to be supported. And then hopefully then I can heal a bit better. I can find better strategies. I've even looked at an emotional resilience kind of webinar kind of thing through work. And, you know, I've always kind of been a bit dubious about those because I think, well, why should you have to be emotionally resilient when people around you shouldn't be assholes? But I think it's just more, it's probably safety netting for myself and knowing and recognizing when things aren't going right. So it's only going to be a positive experience. And, you know, I'm gonna give it a go. It's a 3-hour webinar, and I'm just gonna see if it helps, if it gives me any more strategies. I just wish I sometimes I wish I was a little bit harder, but I'm not. I don't want to be a bit harder. I'm like my line manager said, you know, you'll become more seasoned to this, and it'll get easier. And I hope that's the case. And when my other colleague retires in September, I know I'm going to be spending more time on my own. So it's given me sort of 6 months grace to kind of grow, develop as a practitioner, and just to recognize and self-regulate my emotions and find sort of like safety planning, you know, for those days where I do feel overwhelmed. But I'm hoping that this has come as a consequence of the situation that's happened the last couple of weeks with this difficult person. So hopefully, you know, I won't come across somebody else like that. Because that's one good thing about having, you know, people being individuals. You don't have two people that generally present the same way. So, you know, it'll be fine. It'll be okay. and I'm just taking it one step at a time. But I'll keep you guys updated. I've got a positive outlook on this, that, you know, I'm not trying to worry about what's going to happen after the weekend, because I know I'm not going to be on my own. I've never been on my own as such anyway, but I'm going to try not to isolate myself. I'm going to try and not withdraw so much. I'm going to be a bit more honest with people, and I'm just going to, like I said, take it every day as it comes and just try my best, work to the best of my ability, and just leave work in the workplace and leave my home life at home. Church and state, it always helps. So without further ado, I'll leave you guys to it. And thank you very much for listening. And if you're new, thank you very much for listening on my podcast. For those of you who've listened before, thank you for coming back. Really appreciate it. So like I said, I'll keep everybody updated. I am okay. I'll be fine. I'm recovering. I'm looking after myself, and I'm going to carry on looking after myself. I'm going to start putting myself first a little bit more, and I'll just see what the next few weeks brings. But thankfully, I've only got another couple of weeks and I'm off, so I'll probably be a bit more relaxed then. So that's a goodbye from me. Take care, and I'll speak soon. Goodbye.